The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Rams fans, welcome into Rams Showcase. My name is Sheriff Joe Bags. Tonight, the Rams will see a bit of a shakeup at a few different positions for a little bit. Plus, the third of three straight home games for the Rams goes down this weekend. We preview Steelers at the Rams. And later, some heat coming in the fan queso, so we will get into that on the other side of the game preview. Before we hop into the madness, RamsShowcase.com is where the action happens. Under that merch tab is where you can snag yourself a Rams Showcase t-shirt. If you are interested in supporting the show, that is the single best way to do it. Plus, you look super cool. Second best way to support the show is just, hanging out with me. Just spending some time with Sheriff Joe Bags. And on socials, at Ram Showcase, at Sheriff Joe Bags. So let's go ahead and hop into the action here. We'll go ahead and start with this story. So reports say that Rams starting cornerback Darian Kendrick was arrested early in the morning on Monday, October 16th, just essentially hours after the Rams defeated the Arizona Cardinals at SoFi Stadium. And so far, the reports have been pretty vague. And we know that he was arrested because he had a gun with him. We were not told if it was not his gun, but he did spend a little bit of time, at least a bit of an extended time in whatever they were holding him in. So unfortunately, I don't really have any other information outside of that. And even if I did, I don't really like to get into that side of everything. But from a football perspective, we are going to wait to see if a suspension happens in this situation. If not, then I do expect DK to continue to be the starter. And if there is a suspension, this would be a really good opportunity for somebody like Trey Tomlinson or even Duke Shelley to get some really good reps in there. From that standpoint, if Kendrick is going to be down for a little bit, then I actually like our depth there. And I'm at least excited to see these guys out there. Tomlinson, obviously, still in the early development stages of his career. But he could absolutely use some reps against a team that has definitely had some struggles. So this would be a good opportunity for him to get out on the field and kind of see that passion kind of ignited out there on the football field. We know that this guy's a bit of a hate the term like firecracker or something like that, but like he's a feisty dude out there. So I would be really interested to see him, especially against a team like the Steelers. And Shelley, he has appeared in limited areas. But so far, he has played well when he has been on the field. So that's kind of what we're waiting on now. Like I said, though, we do not have any information on whether Darian Kendrick is going to miss any time or if that's going to be an extended time, if there's going to be suspension involved, anything like that. So we kind of wait to unfold or wait to see what kind of happens out of all this. And I am going to withhold any kind of judgment, anything like that, mainly because I don't have the information. I wasn't there. I don't know exactly what went down. So I'm not here just to throw Darian Kendrick under the bus. I am a fan of Darian Kendrick, and I think that the fan base is being way too hard on Darian so far based on what this year has been for him. I know that he's had some extremely untimely penalties and some mistakes in just situations that it really has bit the Rams in certain situations. But overall, the dude is playing really good football, and obviously, if we have him on the field, I like that. So. Darian Kendrick, again, we don't know what to expect out of this, so we kind of just are waiting for more information. That is kind of where we're at right now, but of course we do hope that he's in an okay situation and that everything's going to be okay with him. But again, from the football perspective, which is the perspective that I like to stick on here, is Tomlinson or Shelley. I'm excited to see either of them. We also could dig into the practice squad. Maybe we get a McCutcheon pulled up, so we'll kind of see what happens in that regard. But so far, really nothing to report as far as what Darian Kendrick may or may not be missing. So that is one position that we are looking at right now going into this week against the Steelers to see kind of just a little bit of a shakeup right now. We don't know exactly what's going to happen at that spot. Another spot that the Rams are going to have some questions at is, of course, going to be the running back position. We heard that Kyren Williams. He has a sprained ankle, and it's unfortunate that kind of we're seeing reports saying that that if he wouldn't have gone back out onto the football field, then maybe it wouldn't be this bad. But it does look like it will take at least a week, two, three, four. Who knows exactly how long that's going to take. But also Ronnie Rivers placed on IR. So he's out at least for 4 weeks until we kind of can get his injury stuff all settled. And then, of course, Kyren Williams. So we are digging into the depth chart at the running back spot. And with that, some moves being made. So, of course, the Rams did sign running back Royce Freeman to the active roster. He has made appearances on the roster on game days in certain aspects or certain weeks. But right now, he has officially pulled up onto the roster, so he is here and probably going to get a good amount of reps this week, I would guess. Next up, the Rams also did sign running back Miles Gaskin off the Vikings practice squad. Gaskin is definitely a speed guy, so that does give the Rams a little bit of a different aspect when it comes to the running back position. So we'll kind of see what kind of impact that he can have. I'm not sure we see a lot of him maybe this week. I do anticipate a pretty Zach Evans, Royce Freeman heavy backfield if I did have to guess. And then, of course, we got the news as well that the Rams did sign running back Daryl Henderson to the practice squad. Hendo back in horns, which is really cool to see. And if you are unfamiliar with Daryl Henderson, Hendo, well, he was here for the Super Bowl ring just a couple years back. And so he does have a Super Bowl ring with the Los Angeles Rams. He has racked up 396 rushing yards and 13 rushing touchdowns as he's played in 50 games for the Rams in his career. And he has started 28 games in his Rams time. That does include 10 starts in the Rams Super Bowl season. So he was definitely a part of that season for sure. Didn't just like kind of ride the team to getting a ring. He was absolutely part of this team in that 21 season. He definitely made his money, though, on kind of like a third down type back as, like I said, he has 396 rushing yards in his career, but 474 receiving yards and four touchdowns through the air. So that's obviously a good aspect for the Rams offense. And even though he's a practice squad guy, that could be something that the Rams could utilize right now as we kind of dig into a weird part of our schedule with the Steelers coming to town, then at Dallas, at Green Bay before the bye week. So we'll kind of see how that all kind of shakes out. But that skill set is definitely something the Rams could use on the football field right now. Overall, I do get the sense that most fans are pretty pleased to have Henderson back, even if it's just being a limited role with a practice squad spot right now. So, again, Hendo back in horns, which is really cool to see. I think that a lot of Rams fans were kind of high on Daryl Henderson, but he never really translated into that guy that I think a lot of us thought that he could be. So maybe, you know what, some time away, he wasn't on another team, so we did sign him just kind of off the couch here, so to speak. But I like what he brings to this offense, and at the very least, he brings experience to this offense. He has worked with Sean McVay before. He has been a Ram before. So, that's obviously good to have in that backfield, especially when you're dealing with a rookie in Zach Evans, a guy in his first year as a Ram in Royce Freeman. And obviously we bring in Miles Gaskin, who has not spent time with the Rams. So all that being said, obviously to have somebody with some kind of experience in this offense and actually having starts under this in this offense with this team, I think that all kind of plays into a positive for Hendo being back in horns, which is cool to see. So again, though, I'm not even sure if he's going to play this week. I'm not sure if he'll get pulled up to be active on the roster this week. We might just see him just in street clothes on the sidelines at SoFi this week. But with that being said, like I had mentioned, that the Royce Freeman and Zach Evans combo, that doesn't hurt my feelings at all. And I think that that would be a fine combo as we dive into this week. So let's move into the standings here of the NFC West, and pretty sick week six as the LA Rams, the only team in the NFC West coming away with a win, and the only home team in week six, and being able to pull off the dub, which is obviously awesome. So the San Francisco 49ers do still sit in first place in the division, although they are coming off of a loss to the Cleveland Browns. It was a pretty close game. Obviously, the Niners had a shot to win it at the end, and then the missed field goal led to the Browns walking away with the win. But wins are wins, and we did see that San Francisco 49ers offense kind of sputter out pretty heavy with the loss of Debo Samuel as well as Christian McCaffrey. So we'll see what they do as far as the depth goes and what those injuries look like. It doesn't sound like they're long-term. But we did see the proof, very much so, right in front of our eyeballs, that when those weapons for that 49ers offense go down, they don't have a lot of depth. And that's something I've talked about so far all season, is it like, yeah, it's working now because they're healthy, but we'll see, you know, because it's a long season and things can happen. So obviously when McCaffrey and Debo went down, that offense was dramatically worse. So we'll see what kind of happens as their season shakes out. The Seattle Seahawks still sit in second place with a 3-2 record. They did lose to the Cincinnati Bengals. Oh, by the way, San Fran at Minnesota on Monday Night Football. So we get a primetime Kirk Cousins going against the 49ers. So, hey, Survivor League's Niners in this one. It's primetime Kirk Cousins. They're going to win this game. The Niners are. So those are the rules. I don't make the rules. And yeah, Seattle losing to the Seattle Seahawks. They do host the Arizona Cardinals this week. So a division game for the Seattle Seahawks. And the LA Rams sitting in third place with a 3-3 record with that win over the Arizona Cardinals. Didn't give up a touchdown, which was obviously awesome. And then also shutting the Cardinals out in the second half. So that was very good stuff there. And then back at SoFi this week as the Pittsburgh Steelers come into town. One of three teams, by the way, that Aaron Donald has never beat. So that'd be pretty cool to knock that one off the list. And the Arizona Cardinals sitting at 1-5. They did lose to the Los Angeles Rams and playing at the Seattle Seahawks this week. We also did get word that the Kyler Murray 21-day activation window has officially been opened. Kyler back at practice as well as Buda Baker. So, of course, we'll kind of keep tabs on that as Kyler Murray, you know, they're kind of hoping that he brings a spark, but with a 1-5 record at this point in the season, I'm not sure if that's even possible. And also, Dobbs has not necessarily played poorly, so I'm not really sure what the Arizona Cardinals' plan is for this season, but obviously getting your high-dollar quarterback back into the fold is obviously something that you'd want to do. Even if, you know, say somebody like, we'll just go with Brett Rippon right now because he is the current QB2. If Stafford went down and Rippon's playing well, if Stafford is healthy to go, I mean, let's get him back in the game, you know. So it makes sense from that standpoint, but a 1-5 record going into week 7 for the Arizona Cardinals, obviously not where they would like to be at this point. So there's that part of it. So we are kind of going a little bit early here as far as time goes, which is definitely not a complaint. That's good stuff here. And what we'll go ahead and do is it kind of allots us some time on the back end here to finish through the fan quesos, because we do have a good chunk of those. So what we're going to go ahead and do now is we're going to take a quick break, and on the other side, we will get into the game preview. But again, ramshowcase.com under that merch tab is where you snag your t-shirts. On the front page is where you can watch the game preview that's also on YouTube and listen to the full podcast right there as well. So all the information right there on the front page, ramshowcase.com. So that's good stuff. And again, t-shirts, they are super soft, super awesome, and AJ does an awesome job with these shirts. They are 100% super sick, for sure. I would never lie to you. And at Ram Showcase, at Sheriff Joe Bags, if you would like to follow on social media, of course. And then if any inquiries on Ram Showcase, ramshowcase@gmail.com, I'll be able to get back to you there. But we're going to take a quick break, and on the other side, we got the game preview, Steelers at Rams. It's right here at Ram Showcase.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The Los Angeles Rams welcome in the Pittsburgh Steelers to SoFi Stadium for Week 7 of the NFL season. The Pittsburgh Steelers sitting with that 3-2 record. The Los Angeles Rams with a 3-3 record with that win over the Arizona Cardinals last week. This game kicks off at 1:05 p.m. Pacific time. That happens on Fox. We get Adam Amin and Mark Schlereth in the booth with Christina Pink on the sideline. The Rams will be in the blue zones on the distribution map, so if you are in those areas, of course, you will be catching the Los Angeles Rams. Rams just on the single this week, Fox on the single this week, though. So obviously a lot of those packed on in there. So if you are a bettor also, the Rams are currently -3 right now at home, of course, against the Steelers. It's a pretty snug game as far as Vegas is concerned, but we'll get into all the deets here. Money line for the Rams, -166, and you're over under sitting at 43.5. So not a lot of points, according to Vegas, but we'll see what happens, of course. The Rams will be in their royal jerseys for this game. And I wanted to share this with you because myself, Payo Time, and Rams House, for the last season and a half, essentially, we've always made our prediction on what color pants the Rams will wear. We get the uniform schedule ahead of time, so we know what the jersey color is going to be, but we learn 24 hours ahead of kickoff what that pant color is going to be. And I will make a graphic for next week so that we can keep up with our records and see kind of what we are picking and how we're doing with that. Now, but I will let you know to just drop yours in the comment section below. Drop what color pant you think that the Rams will wear. We've ruined the soul pants 2 times in a row, which has led to just about all of us switching up our predictions for this week, not picking the soul pants. So Rams House is going with the bone pants this week, and myself and Payo Time going with the royal pants. So got royal on royal, which is my least favorite combo, but it is my prediction on what we will see from the Rams this week. So drop your prediction in the comments below, and next week we'll have a graphic for this as well, so you can keep up with our records and then talk trash to us when you're doing better than us, which is absolutely possible. So some notes in this game. So this is the first of 2 straight games that the Rams are playing a team coming off of the bye week. So the Pittsburgh Steelers were off in week 6, and the Rams' next opponent, the Dallas Cowboys, they are off in week 7. So I think that we get it 4 times this year, which is kind of absurd, but hey, whatever, man. They give their toughest battles to their best teams is what the approach that we're going to be taking here, which is unfortunate, though. The teams get like a whole week extra to prepare for the Los Angeles Rams, and we're going to be beating up on the Steelers when the Cowboys are licking their wounds and healing up. So that's unfortunate, but hey, it happens. We're going to get team, you know, playing us off of our bye too, so everybody kind of gets it. I guess not everybody, but you get the point. Either way. And the Rams are currently sitting in the 7th seed in the NFC playoff race. They currently would be playing the Philadelphia Eagles if that were to end right now. Obviously, there's a lot of season to go, so we'll kind of see how it all shakes up. But I would say with the way that the Rams played the Philadelphia Eagles in earlier in the season, what was that, week 5, maybe? Either way, it was not long ago. Yeah, I think it was week 5. But either way, the way that the Rams played in that game, I actually feel good about that. And it just didn't seem like the Rams were on it at all. And so far, I mean, I think the Rams have been competitive in all 6 of their games, and they have a 3-3 record right now. So I think that as the season goes on, this team should be getting better and just more in line with itself, making a little bit fewer mistakes as the season goes on. As long as health is a part of that, that should be something that we all anticipate. We get a major running back mix-up this week, of course, so we could see running back Zach Evans get his first NFL start. It was his first time being active last week in week 6 against the Arizona Cardinals. And I would say more realistically that Royce Freeman will get the bulk of the carries, but I do think that we get a heavy dose of both of them. But also at the same time, we have not been told who is going to be the starting running back. We don't know who's going to get the bulk of the carries, so we're kind of just all assuming right now what's going to happen. But I would say it's kind of an RB1A and RB1B situation that we're dealing with Zach Evans and Royce Freeman. I don't think any of them are necessarily the starter for week 7 against the Pittsburgh Steelers, but I think that we do see a good chunk of both of them. Also, on the other side, reports say that the Steelers did inform cornerback Desmond King that they do plan on releasing him if they cannot find a trade partner. So King was picked up by the Steelers after he was cut by the Texans after the preseason on their cut down to 53, and he has not logged any stats on the season. He has been active 3 times. I did see a lot of Rams fans say that the Rams should go after him. I disagree. I don't think that the Rams really have a need for him, and if the Rams were going to add a cornerback to the active roster, I think going into our own practice squad with somebody like McCutcheon would be the better play than to go after a guy like King. Although this week, I mean, obviously that's a different conversation, that this week it could be very beneficial, but I mean, we've got the tape, so it's not a big deal. We also got Kevin Dotson here and stuff like that, so I'm not super worried about that from a competitive standpoint. I just don't think that there's really any reason to bring in Desmond King to this team right now. Some milestones that we are watching for in this game. So Matthew Stafford, he does need 3,265 passing yards to pass Eli Manning for 10th all time. This is something we are tracking all season until it is either passed or we need to talk about it next year. Either way, we're talking about it, all right? And he also needs 28 passing touchdowns to pass Eli Manning for 10th all-time in that category as well. And we are creeping up on the second most ever passing yards in the first 200 regular season games as Matthew Stafford creeping up on Matt Ryan. He needs 591 more passing yards to wiggle into second place there. Drew Brees holding in first. And I don't think that based on the trajectory here, I mean, Matthew Stafford would need to go off for the next like 5-6 games in order to be in that Drew Brees realm. But he should be able to pass Matt Ryan here, as I believe this is 194 now, if I'm not mistaken. So he's getting there. He's getting close to it. And Tyler Higbee, he did reach ninth in receiving yards in franchise history versus the Cardinals. He did just need 2 receiving yards. So I posted that one. If you are following on Ram Showcase, at Ram Showcase on X, then I posted it there, as well as just my own personal Facebook page. So, yeah, he reached 9th all-time. That's pretty impressive stuff, and that's not over because he needs 18 receiving yards to move into 8th most in franchise history. So he could go from 10 to 8 in 2 weeks, which is obviously awesome to see, but just 18 more receiving yards, and that's where Tyler Higbee will be. He needs 2 touchdowns, receiving touchdowns, to move into the top 10 in franchise history in that category. Does already lead the tight ends in that realm. And Cooper Kupp needs 71 receptions to pass Henry Ellard for 3rd most in franchise history. He also needs 2 more receiving touchdowns to become 4th in franchise history. So he is getting close to some other milestones as well. And Aaron Donald, apparently it was a premature post here because we got the word that that was a sack. And so I posted that he is top 30 in sacks in NFL history. But of course that was removed. So 2 weeks with no sacks for Aaron Donald, but good opportunity to get back into that column this week against the Pittsburgh Steelers and become top 30 in the entire NFL's history in sacks. Although the sack history is a little bit of a weird one. Rams fans, I think, kind of know that with Deacon Jones coining the term and all of his not being accounted for. So there's obviously a lot of things that go on with that. And then, of course, still just 3 fumble recoveries to lead the franchise in that category all time. Let's dig into the matchup here. So we got the Rams offense versus the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. The Rams offense is 5th in the NFL, putting up a little over 387 a game, and going against the Steelers defense, almost 410 a game. They are 30th in the NFL in defense and passing the football. The Rams are 6th in the league, going against the 25th ranked pass defense of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And running the football, I would give this one to a lack of attempts here, is the Rams sitting at 17th in the league, and the Pittsburgh Steelers 29th run defense, giving up almost 144 a game, which is absolutely madness to me. And points being scored, the Rams are putting up 23, that is 12th in the league, and the Steelers defense giving up 22 a game, that is 20th in the NFL. So if the Rams score right in that range, of course that checks out. But averages don't always just tell us exactly what's going to happen. We also, it's only 6 games and against very different teams. So obviously there's no direct translations there. But the Rams offense, they do have an interesting time attacking the ground, especially this week with the issues that the Rams now have at the running back position. Obviously, we lose our top 2 guys, Kyren Williams and Ronnie Rivers, Mr. Ripaz. He is now both of them being out right now. So we do anticipate that we'll see a Royce Freeman and Zach Evans combo with the potential that we see Myles Gaskin, and even Hendo could get some carries in there if we bring in all of those guys to be active this week. We'll kind of see what happens. But going against the 29th ranked run defense, hopefully we see this team kind of commit to the run and still impose their will in that category, because the Rams offensive line is very good. And when you can help them out by running the ball, then I think it opens up everything else. And we know that this line likes to run block. I mean, I think all lines like to run block when you can just line them up and be like, you push that guy out of the way. I think they kind of live for that a little bit. So obviously to get the ground game going, we just need Sean McVay to just stick to it a little bit, which in this game, we could see him kind of be a little bit more hesitant given that we just lost our top 2 guys at that spot. So something to watch for sure. The Steelers defense, definitely one the Rams could take advantage of, and should be able to move the football on him. Like I said, 25th against the pass, 29th against the run. This is something the Rams should be able to take advantage of for sure. And TJ Watt represents yet another strong pass rusher for the Rams to face this season. And big Rob Havenstein on that right side. He's got his hands full. But if there's anybody on this line to have against TJ Watt, I mean, it is big Rob, right? That's kind of who we want there. But we should also focus on helping him. A strong day against Watt is a good day for the Rams. And like, and kind of vice versa a little bit of like, if Big Rob is having a good day, that's a good day for the Rams offense. And if he's having a rough day, probably going to be a rough day for the Rams offense, right? And also, I think it's with TJ Watt being on the football field, this is a really good chance for the social media storm to kind of see both of them on the same field. And obviously, they're not going to be going head-to-head, Aaron Donald and TJ Watt, that is. But to see them both on the field at the same time, I think is beneficial, at least for like Steelers fans who just like blatantly think that TJ Watt is like miles ahead of Aaron Donald, which we know is not real. And I think that Rams fans have a little bit more of a respect for TJ Watt than Steelers fans have a respect for Aaron Donald. And I don't know what that is. Maybe it's Aaron Donald choking people out and stuff like that, because that happens. And that is definitely a thing that I've had to like explain to people, that they're like, I was like, I just don't like how angry he is all the time. I was like, yeah, I'd be angry too, though, if I was getting triple covered or like triple blocked every play. So I'm just trying to do my job, dude. But either way, it's all kind of getting in the weeds there. I think that that Rams fans have a little bit more respect for TJ than Steelers fans have for Aaron. So this is a really, really good opportunity for that. But Watt being on that side, that's a tough matchup. So obviously he's a premier pass rusher. So Rams definitely have their hands full with that, which brings us to the 3-C, which we're going to start with the running backs here. No matter who gets the starts or the playing time, a good day on the ground is critical for the Rams in this game. Whoever is out there, we just need them to do well. Simple as that. We just need whoever is on the field to play well. Next up here, we're going to go with Puka Nacua. Puka Nacua had a bit of a lighter day in week 6, but he was dealing with a little bit of discomfort. We had heard that he had a little bit of an injury. He came into the game questionable, so I think that had something to do with it. Also, Matthew Stafford's favorite target in the universe, Cooper Kupp, is back out on the football field. So I think that with a light week from Puka last week could potentially lead to a little bit more opening this week, especially when you're going against the 25th ranked pass defense. Obviously, they don't have the numbers to back up covering multiple wide receivers. And if you're going to take one away from the Rams, it should probably be Cooper Kupp. So I think Puka should have a good day in this one. And then last on the 3-C is going to be Big Rob Havenstein. He's got a tall task handling TJ Watt all day long. And while he's definitely the guy that we want handling that job, it is unrealistic to ask him to win 100% of the snaps. All right. And I don't want to see anybody, I know it's going to happen, but I don't want to see anybody saying that, like, after, if he gives up a sack, it's like, oh, Rob Havenstein, he's terrible. We don't need to get him out. It's like, well, I mean, it's a pretty good pass rusher he's going against. And we cannot ask him to win 100% of those snaps. That's just not realistic. With that being said, I would like to see some help go over there. Unlike the help that we saw that final play of week 5 against the Philadelphia Eagles, when we had Warren McClendon come in at right tackle for a short time. And then who was it at running back? That was it, Rivers, or was it Evans? Somebody, either way, they did not help and led to a sack ending the game. So I think that helping Big Rob should be critical. And again, like I said, if Rob having a good day is a good day for the Rams, especially when we're talking about TJ Watt here. And if Rob is having a rough day against TJ Watt, chances are Rams offense probably going to be having a bit of a rough day. So let's move over to the other side here. We have the Steelers offense against the Rams defense. So the Steelers offense sitting 31st in the NFL. They are not putting up 300 a game and just second to last place right there. The Rams defense is a top 12 unit, ranking 12th right now. Passing the football, the Steelers offense is 27th in the league, while the Rams defense is 13th against the pass and only giving up 4 passing touchdowns all season, which is very top notch. Very cool stuff there. Running the football, the Steelers are 28th in the NFL. Yes, that is worse than the Rams on offense, and the Rams defense 22nd against the run with the 122.2 against on average. And points being scored, the Steelers putting up just under 16 a game. That is ranked 30th in the league, and the Rams defense giving up 19.5. That is tied for 11th right now. So obviously, the Steelers record being 3-2 and sitting above 500 right now, and then you look at their rankings, It doesn't add up. And I would anticipate that over the course of the season, if this is the way that the Steelers are going to look and the way that they're able to kind of stop people and then move the football, that I think that those averages will kind of even out and translate into the record. And so this very well could be the first time that we see Mike Tomlin have a losing record for the Steelers. But again, it's an NFL team. We talked about this last week with the Arizona Cardinals. It doesn't matter what the averages look like, how bad a team looks, anything. This is still NFL football, and that's an NFL team with a very, very good coach and some pretty awesome playmakers over there as well. So obviously, you never take it for granted. And us fans, we kind of do whatever we want, but as long as the roster and the coaching staff, as long as they're not taking anybody lightly, then we should be okay. The Rams defense, they played pretty incredible football so far. I mean, this Rams defense has been playing, I think, at the very minimum, if you don't agree with that, with the Rams ranking 12th in the league right now, which we wish was better, but that's still pretty good, right? I think that considering where most people thought that the Rams defense was going to be, sitting at 12th right now is actually pretty solid. So I'll absolutely take it. I'm sure most of you will as well. But you take away some mistakes here and there, and this unit has really been solid. Some critical timed mistakes for sure. Like you look at week 5, Philadelphia Eagles at the Rams, and Darian Kendrick getting that pass interference before the halftime, and then that led to the brotherly shove touchdown to end the half. Stuff like that. So it's been unfortunate timing on stuff. But overall, I think this team is, this unit has played very well. We could see a bit of a shakeup at the cornerback position, obviously with the Darian Kendrick news this week. But Duke Shelley, Trey Tomlinson, and or a practice squad player could help here. Somebody like Cameron McCutcheon, Tanner Engle, who kind of was in at safety, kind of playing a little bit of that, like, a Taylor Rapp, Mark Barron-ish role in preseason. But who did he almost murder? There was some quarterback that he tried to kill in preseason. So, he's at least out there trying. But Cameron McCutcheon, I liked him as well in preseason. So I wouldn't hate seeing him as a depth piece for this game if DK is not going to be able to go. The Steelers offense, they definitely have playmakers. They have some players out there that I'm a big fan of, actually. So we'll kind of see what happens. But Akello Witherspoon, if he can handle Pickens, that should be okay there. I like that. But they also have other weapons, and that's where the Darian Kendrick news does hurt the Rams quite a bit. But we'll see kind of what happens. And I mentioned, Trey Tomlinson and Duke Shelley, but I think we should also kind of throw a Durant in there as well, because I think that he should have or could have a pretty big impact in this one, especially considering what we kind of have seen from him this year based on last year. We thought he was going to take that next step. He looks to be about the same player, but maybe with just a little bit less excitement this year. So hopefully that kind of translates into some cooler stuff. But like I said, the Steelers offense definitely has some playmakers. Pickens, Johnson, they've got good weapons out there. So Rams offense definitely has their hands full. I think what's happening now is you get that Matt Canada offense for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that's absolutely crumbling them. So if Raheem the Dream Morris over here can just cook up enough pressure to kind of just suffocate that Matt Canada offense, then the Rams should be okay in this game. But I like our chances to kind of hold back this Pittsburgh Steelers offense, and not because of their playmakers. It is because of Canada. Like that makes me, as a fan of an opponent going into this game, feel pretty good that their offense won't be able to do much on the Rams defense. And I think that Steelers fans also, they kind of feel that way as well. You get in, like, even like the Pittsburgh Penguins games, they're chanting "Fire Canada." So hey, maybe this is the one. Rams are good at getting people fired. So Steelers fans, maybe if you want Canada fired, just let us have this one. Just let us destroy your souls for just 1 week. 3-C on this side of the ball. We're going to go with Aaron Donald. So Donald, obviously, clearly one of the best players in the league, has been for quite a while. But we know that the conversation, it's him or Watt being superior. That is always the conversation right now. And being on the field at the same time, this could be the perfect opportunity to show the Steelers fans what Aaron Donald is capable of. Because some of the comments that I see make it clear that they don't actually know. A lot of these comments talk about how incredible TJ Watt is, and I don't want to take anything away from TJ Watt. That dude is awesome. Could you imagine him next to Aaron Donald? Sorry about your lives, quarterbacks, because you're all dead now. But either way, Donald being out here, I think that Steelers fans getting to see him firsthand, and they have before, but again, it's a team that Aaron Donald has never beat. So if this is a game that he kind of comes in and just destroys some souls out here, then that would be a very good thing. And especially we know that Kevin Dotson is playing way better than either of the guards that are currently in Pittsburgh. So that is also a benefit to this Los Angeles Rams team coming into this one. Donald should be able to have a good game here. Kobe Durant is going to be next. And for all that Kendrick talk and who will replace him, I kind of just mentioned this. I think it's worth noting that Durant could and probably should be kind of next in line for that. I know he's that star position right now, but I also don't love that position in Raheem's defense. So I think that a guy like Jalen Ramsey is a guy that you can create a position for. I don't think that that is a position that should just exist in your defense if you don't have the personnel to do it. And I don't think that Kobe Durant is necessarily doing a bad job or anything like that. But I do think that to just him just being in the slot is one thing, but to kind of call him the star and have him kind of doing all this different stuff, I think it's just asking him to do a little too much. I love Kobe Durant. I think a dude is awesome. He's not Jalen Ramsey, and nobody's Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey is Jalen Ramsey. So obviously there's a shakeup there, but I want to see Kobe Durant kind of just wiggle into his spot right now. And if, again, these are big ifs, because we don't know what's going on with Darian Kendrick. I would anticipate that maybe he's not going to play this week, but we also don't know that. We haven't gotten any word on it, and it sounds like the team is even still waiting on word on what is going on in that situation. So, again, not holding, I'm not passing any judgment yet. I like Darian Kendrick. I hope everything's okay. And we also don't have all the information, and I'm not going to pretend that I do, just to make a hot take or something like that. So, Kobe Durant, though, I like where he's at for this game, and going against a team that does have good weapons, like we had talked about in the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think he's in a good spot to have a good day in this one. And Ernest Jones, the man himself. Ernest Jones is so sick, all right? So this guy's playing such good football right now. He and Roseboom in the middle, I'm loving that combo. The Jones-Roseboom combo as the Rams inside linebackers is killer right now. I'm a big fan of this stuff. But Jones is going against a weaker offense in a spot to shut down that Steelers attack. And he's just got to get guys into the right spot, which he's done such a good job of so far this year. We just need to see it again and again and again and again and again and again. You know, we just need to see that all season. But obviously, there's no signs of him slowing down. There's no signs of him kind of pulling back on that. We kind of talked about this from his very first, like, training camp press conference. He came in that fire that we saw even way back then in, like, what was that, July? We felt good about it, him, then. So I think that he's just kind of doing the thing. But if, I'm not saying that it's going to happen, but if the Rams were able to shut out the Pittsburgh Steelers, it's because Ernest Jones is just murdering souls. Because that's what he does. He's super good at football, and it's really fun to watch. Let's take a look at the history of this matchup. So the Rams do lead the all-time series 15-10-2, which would make this, what, that's the 28th game in this. Well, that's not right. Isn't that right? Yeah, 28th game in the series. I can do math. Don't judge me. The most recent game between these two came on November 10th of 2019. Ooh, 2019. Do you remember 2019? God, what an amazing time. But the Pittsburgh Steelers did win that one 17-12. First ever game between these two came on December 4th of 1938. The Cleveland Rams defeated the Pittsburgh Pirates 13-7. The Rams versus the Pirates all time. The Rams lead that series 1-0-1. That tie coming the following year. In 1939, that game played in Cleveland. The Rams have lost four straight to the Steelers right now, and the Rams' most recent win over the Steelers came on October 26th of 2003. That was the St. Louis Rams at the Steelers with a 33-21 victory. Obviously, the 2003 Rams, pretty sick team. A lot of really, really good players on that team still. So, those were some fun times for the Rams. I guess that was the tail end of some really fun times, but either way. This is actually one of three Rams Super Bowl opponents as, of course, Super Bowl XIV, January 20th of 1980, of course, that 79 season that the Rams and Steelers faced off in that Super Bowl. It was a 31-19 win for Pittsburgh, although everybody, that was a lot closer game than I think anybody anticipated. I was not around. I did not watch this game. I was born in 91, so leave me alone. But it was closer than I think everybody kind of thought that it was going to be with that Steelers team being so, so good. And then, of course, Colin Bryant, he scored the first touchdown in that game in the first quarter. The Rams did lead after 1-7-3 with that Colin Bryant touchdown. And Colin Bryant, I think, is just a player that I kind of hold a little bit closer than the average player. as he was from Colorado, and he did pass away in his Manitou Springs home just a couple years ago, actually. So Manitou Springs, if you are not familiar with my area, I live in Colorado Springs, or I live in Fountain, but it's essentially Colorado Springs. And Manitou is just to the west of Colorado Springs. It's right there. And if you are ever in the area, in the Colorado Springs area, as a tourist, anything like that, Manitou, a must stop. You got to check it out. It's super cool. Super cool little witch town. I think it's they call it the witch capital of the U.S., which is pretty sweet, I guess. Yeah, just like a little hippie town. Very cool stuff, though. Check it out. And if you don't drink the water, you're weak. All right. Moving on here to some connections here. So we have former Rams on the Steelers. Just one wide receiver, Allen Robinson. He was playing for the Rams last year, 2022. Never really kind of came into his own. Never really settled in on being a very big factor into this Rams offense. So Rams moving on from him kind of made sense. I think we all kind of anticipated that he would have a bigger role. But also, that's something to keep an eye on. Is this going to be a game that he's really up for, especially with a little bit of potential weakness in the secondary for the Rams with DK being down? This could be a game to watch Allen Robinson for sure. And former Steelers that are now on the Rams, we do have cornerback Akello Witherspoon. He played for the Steelers in 21 to 23. And Kevin Dotson, who the Rams did just trade for right after the preseason was over. This was after that 40-0 loss against the Denver Broncos that the Rams brought in Kevin Dotson. He played there from 2020 to 23. So, of course, that late addition there, which kind of surprised me. I thought that we were pretty good going into the regular season with who we had. And then Kevin Dotson shows up, and not only does he show up, but then Noteboom gets banged up, and then he slides into the starting lineup and is awesome. He's like absolutely incredible. And I don't want to totally start rumors here, but I think that the emergence of Kevin Dotson does bring into play a potential trade involving Joe Noteboom. And I don't think that that's necessarily like going to happen or anything. I'm not predicting that necessarily, but I do think it makes sense. You get his number off the books, because if he's going to be a bench player, that is too many dollar bills sitting on the bench in a player that should be starting. And so if another team has something that you can get and needs an offensive lineman, I think it's kind of perfect. And as we creep towards that, that trade deadline, if Kevin Dotson keeps on kind of solidifying himself as a starter on this offensive line, I do not think it's unreasonable that the Rams could trade Joe Noteboom. I think that's totally in line, totally makes sense. You get those dollar bills off the book, and you just don't have them sitting on your bench. You help out somebody else, and maybe the Rams are able to get an edge rusher out of that, you know? So who knows? We'll see what happens, but I'm not saying that for sure Noteboom's going to get traded. I'm saying that if it does happen, that would not stun me at all. I think that's totally reasonable. And some other connections here in the NFL. Duke Shelley played in Chicago with Steelers offensive lineman James Daniels, wide receiver Allen Robinson, as well as quarterback Mitch Trubisky. And Aubrey Pleasant, the Rams secondary coach, he did coach the Tariq Carpenter in Green Bay. That happened last season, so he knows him. Maybe we're getting some good tips. That's that's what was going to happen, right? Everybody thinks everybody's like, oh, you got to do this to this guy. He can't do that. He can't handle that. He can't handle that. It's going to be fine. But Aubrey Pleasant back for the Rams. That's a massive plus. Hoping he's our next DC for sure. If Raheem the Dream gets hired as a head coach somewhere, my vote is Aubrey Pleasant. Lock that in right now. And some other connections here going back to college. So Rob Havenstein, Big Rob, and TJ Watt, they played at Wisconsin together in 2013 and 14. So they going head-to-head in this week. They're former college teammates, which is really cool stuff. Darian Kendrick, Stetson Bennett, and Warren McClendon, all of which may not be playing in this game, but are part of this team. They played at Georgia with offensive tackle Broderick Jones, the rookie, and wide receiver George Pickens. Big fan of Pickens. I think that guy's incredible, as well as tight end Darnell Washington. DeMarcus Robinson, Rams wide receiver, played at Florida with safety Keanu Neal in 2013 to 15. Deswan Johnson played at Toledo with Deontay Johnson. So two D Johnsons playing at Toledo together in 2018. That's pretty cool stuff. And Bryson Hopkins, the Rams tight end, played at Purdue with cornerback Corey Trice Jr. in 2018 to 2020. So 3 seasons they played together. And Russ Yeast and Tutu Atwell played at Louisville together with wide receiver Dez Fitzpatrick and also the secondary coach for The Pittsburgh Steelers, Grady Brown was coaching there as well. So that is your game preview. St. Louis Rams. Los Angeles Rams hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers. Week 7 of the 2023 NFL season. It's going to be some good stuff. Be sure to also, again, drop your pants predictions in. We're just going to call them pants predictions. I like that. Some alliteration go in. I like that. I'm a big fan of alliteration. And drop your predictions in the comments, which it's going to be fun. We'll create a graphic for that for next week. I think time just got away from me, and then I also kind of forgot. And then as I was putting the note in, I was like, oh, I don't think I made that. Either way, you get it. But drop that as well. And ramshowcase.com, snag your merch there. If you are interested, if you are on the YouTube channel or Facebook video, whatever, and you are interested in listening to the full podcast, well, check it on out. Everywhere you listen to podcasts, I will share an Apple Podcast link in the description below so you can find it there. But we talked about the Darian Kendrick news, the running back shakeup, and then, of course, right now we are going to get into fan quesos. So that is going to be on the other side of this break. And welcome back into Rams Showcase. It's time for fan quesos. If you are interested in getting a question answered by myself on the next episode of Rams Showcase, we do post it on the Rams Showcase community tab on YouTube, and also on Facebook at Rams Showcase there. And then I share it on my personal Facebook as well. You can definitely add me. I don't care. It's social media. It's a public place. It's fine. So let's go ahead and dive in. So first one here comes from MRP5150. On YouTube. How much do you think we see of Hendo and Gaskin this week? Or do you think we just roll with Evans and Freeman? Great question, man. I'm seeing this a lot, that a lot of people are pretty convinced that Hendo and or Gaskin are going to see a lot of time. But I am not on that train. I think that kind of following this team for as long as I have and kind of covering this team for as long as I have, because I'm never going to pretend like I know more than anybody else. I hope that I never have that vibe. But I think that kind of just sitting back and watching this team would tell me that to not expect anything dramatic, to expect that Zach Evans and Royce Freeman will get the bulk of the carries, and Gaskin and or Hendo would be kind of, like, for lack of a better term here, lucky to get out onto the football field. I think that we see a big dose of Evans and Freeman in this game. Next couple here coming from Payo Time. Definitely subscribe if you have not done that. If you can't watch the games, Payo Time does an awesome watch party. That's definitely where you need to be at if you cannot watch the games yourself. First one here, what are your thoughts on the Rams' social media content? I feel like this year they have done a lot more content highlighting players outside of just pressers. I am really enjoying the thing like Nine and Dime or Legend Series or just the interviews with players like Dotson. What is something that you would like to see the Rams social media team do more of? So first of all, great point, man. I think the Rams social media this season is doing a very cool job. I think a lot of it has to do with the video content that is coming out. So we obviously see those sit downs with JB, like you had mentioned, Kevin Dotson, and we've seen some incredible ones. Darian Kendrick was on there earlier in the year. Really enjoyed that one. So I actually really like it. If there was anything else that I could get from this Rams team, I would dig into the bag, dude. So I'm going back into I don't even remember what it was called. It was like My Ride or something like that, where the players showed off their cars. Remember Keenan Burton being on one of those, and he showed off this, I think it was an old Caprice. Oh man, it was so sick, dude. And then They had a segment called That's My Dog. And I remember Chris Long and James Laurinaitis being on there and just talking about their dogs, dude. I think it was super cool. So that's some kind of stuff that I would like to see, kind of just digging into a little bit of like the personal life of these guys a little bit. But also I would love a film breakdown section where maybe Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford, because I liked Nine and Dime. That was really cool. It was really fun. But it's cool to see them in that kind of setting of just being kind of goofballs and kind of like just ribbing on each other. Like when Matthew Stafford said that it was Spice Girls or whatever, it was Cooper Kupp. That sent me. That was so funny. But I would like to see, like, how cool would it be to see Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford going over game tape from the previous week? Or even if it had to be like 3 weeks ago. Like, I think that would be such sick content. Absolutely love that stuff. So that would be the only thing that I'd request. Otherwise, I think that you're right. They're doing a great job. Next one here. What are your top three tips for Rams fans going to their first Rams game, either at SoFi or on the road, just in general? My number one tip on going to a game is just enjoy the moment. Don't be super worried about capturing the moment on your phones or anything like that. Obviously, definitely take photos, do your thing, but get lost in the moment, man. Don't live through your screen. Living through your screen is awesome when, like, a couple years later when you see those things. But ultimately, you're never gonna be mad when you just accept the moment for what it is. Also, keep your expectations reasonable. That's gonna be my number two. It's sometimes, especially if it's your first NFL game, it's jarring to go to the game a little bit because it just kind of starts and it, like, you're not ready for it. I guess like it doesn't give you like this massive dun dun dun. It's like the following is up like a national football. Whatever, you know what I mean? I couldn't do the thing. I'm blanking on it right now. But either way, just kind of enjoy it, man. And just kind of like understand that it's going to be a little bit of a different atmosphere. You're not going to hear all the tidbits all the time. But just soak it in as far as like the stadium itself and all that. And then I guess other than that, allot yourself some time. I know a lot of people don't know to get to places early enough. And I think that a lot of people show up to games too late and then like they're getting to their seats in the middle of the first quarter and then they're kind of upset about it. So tailgate, do the thing, do the whole thing, make it a whole day event. Go out, tailgate, go meet some people, go have a good time, have a couple beers or whatever it is, some brats, whatever you get into, and then just kind of mosey into the stadium. Make sure you have money to stop by the shop because that's obviously awesome. If you're going to like a regular season game, get a game pin. I get a game pin from every single game that I'm at, no doubt about it. And then also just take your time getting out of there, man. It's not a race to get home unless it is a race to get home and then obviously get the hell out of there. But yeah, just enjoy it, man. Take your time and just take it easy. It's supposed to be a fun, relaxing day. It's a Sunday. So yeah, just chill it out, man. Well, those are my tips. Mainly is just enjoy it. Just soak it in. Memories are better than photos, in my opinion. I know that that's not everybody's opinion, and some people will think that that's ridiculous. But a lot of times I go to concerts and stuff, and I'll leave, and I'm like, oh, crap, I didn't even take a photo. Like, dang it, I don't have any pictures of that. It's like, but I had a great time. I remember that. So I'm on that side of it, though. I'm a grumpy old man when it comes to phones and stuff. Like, put that thing away. Just enjoy yourself. I love like Tool, the band. They don't allow phones at their shows and they will take it away. Like, I love that. They'll take it away. You have to leave if they find your phone. Like, I absolutely love that. I'm a big fan. So next few here coming from Rams House. He says, describe what it would be like to be roommates with Tyler Higbee. This is such a funny question, dude. So I think that Tyler Higbee, it would be an easy roommate situation because I don't think he would be home often. I think that he's a guy that would be gone a lot. Like, he wouldn't help around the house. He's not going to do dishes. He's not going to be vacuuming, all that stuff. But he's also, like, pretty much only there to sleep, in my opinion, you know? So it's like, the mess is probably mostly yours anyway. And if you were like, hey, dude, can I get some help around the house? You'd be like, I'm never even here. Except for, like, your hair dye, dude. Your bleach is in the bathroom. Get it together, Tyler, you know? Something like that, but that's a funny question, man. I like that. Next one here. If no injuries occur in the safety room, will John Johnson even play a snap at safety for the Rams in 2023? Not sure why he's not getting on the field other than special teams. Yeah, dude, same. I'm super confused at what's going on with John. Why is he here? Why is he here if he's just going to be on the sideline? You know, it's like he's a good player. He's obviously an awesome dude. We like him. I'm confused by it. I'll say that. But again, I mean, Russ East, not playing bad. Obviously, Jordan Fuller for president. So there's that part of it. But yeah, John Johnson not getting reps is definitely surprising to me. So I really have no idea. He needs 11 tackles to pass Leonard Little all time. I stopped even mentioning that one because he's not getting out onto the field. So what am I supposed to do? Just say that every single week like I do the other ones? No. All right. Next one here from Rams House. You're now GM, Sheriff Joe Bags, and you are on the phone with the Panthers. They have a deal worked out to send Brian Burns to LA. The trade requires giving up two first rounders and signing him to a new contract. Would you sign off on this trade? I don't personally. And I think that I specifically am not the person to ask this question to because I specifically I like Brian Burns, and if he comes to the Rams, I'm celebrating that. But to give 2 ones and then a contract, I think that there's better options to go for instead of Burns. And again, I like Burns. Burns is a great player, and I think he would fit in great. I think he fills a need for the Rams, and him rushing on the opposite side of Byron Young is obviously awesome. But 2 ones and a new contract for Brian Burns, I say no. I go for Chase Young in that situation instead. And I know that he's at the injury history, all that stuff. But yeah, man, I don't know. I would give up a one and a two. How about that? I'll kind of meet you there on that one. But overall, man, yeah, it's kind of just it's one of those weird situations with my own brain where, like, I feel like I value him less than others do. And I do want him on the Rams, and I would be pumped to see that unfold. But again, I don't know if that happens. I don't know if I'm kind of overthinking stuff a little bit, but no, 2 ones and a new contract. I'm saying no. I'm just going to go ahead and call somebody else and get somebody else going. But also, like I said earlier, I don't think it's impossible that the Rams package Nopum in somewhere. So if the Panthers could use an offensive lineman, Joe Noteboom is a starter. So I think in that case, you could get like Noteboom and a 2 or a 3 in return for Burns. I don't think that's unreasonable, although I do think it would be closer to the 2 instead of the 3. But I think that's something that could happen. Moving on here to the Facebook page. These few coming from Cody. How much time do you think Kendrick will miss, and who takes his spot when he's gone? Unfortunately, I have no idea what to think about the Kendrick news. I don't know if he's going to miss no time or if he's going to be suspended for 8 games, man. I've got zero clue. It's also, I guess, a weird roundabout. It's none of my business. So I hope he plays. Yeah, man. And who takes his place? I think it'll be kind of a committee thing. But Durant pushing outside, I think, is reasonable as well. Next one here from Cody. When do you see us getting any Stetson Bennett updates? I'm going to go ahead and guess that we may not hear this year. So maybe wait till the offseason to hear on Stetson Bennett. No idea what's going on. Obviously, the rumors have been flying. I refuse to attach to any of those rumors simply because I don't know. And I'm not going to say that, I'm not going to commit to a thought process on Stetson Bennett without true knowledge on the situation. And true knowledge on the situation is also none of my business. So I don't know, man. I'm not holding my breath to get a Bennett update. Next one from Cody. How much do you think we miss our starting 2 backs? And could a veteran back do better than expected, considering our backs are still young and learning and improving? Not necessarily. I think the Rams, their zone running scheme, I think it's pretty beneficial even for the young guys who have been doing zone stuff. Like Zach Evans, he knows what he's doing in this situation. Royce Freeman definitely knows what he's doing in this situation. So no, I don't think that that necessarily the Rams need to bring in any kind of veteran presence for that role. But I think obviously signing Myles Gaskin, I don't know if your comment was before that happened. Because Myles Gaskin, that signing did happen today. I know a lot of people were reporting it yesterday, but that was still pending physical, which we did get word on today. So I don't think we need to make any moves right now. We got the 3 on the active roster that should be good to go with Freeman, Evans, and Gaskin. And we could bring up Hendo for this game as well. So I think we'll be all right there. Next one here coming from Gary says, which of the vet running backs do you think will step up in Williams' absence? Jeez. Or will it be Evans? As far as like who's going to step up, I think if we're going like from a fantasy football like yardage, carries, all that good stuff, I would guess that Royce Freeman is going to get the bulk. I think that he is going to get the bulk of the carries and the bulk of the yards, but I do think that Evans will get his share of carries in there as well. So that's kind of my guess on it. But Williams, man, it sucks. The reports today came out that he was on a scooter with like a cast like material on his ankle. So that's unfortunate. So hopefully it's not too long. And then John coming in here, Mr. Roach. He is a Steelers fan creeping in. So it was rumor is that your rookie edge rusher Byron Young is going against our rookie left tackle Broderick Jones. What do you think of that? Like the matchup or nah? First of all, let me see here. Let me pull up really fast. I'm going to try to do this quick because I'm running out of time here. Actually, well, you said left tackle. If that's the case, then actually he won't. he won't be going against him because Byron Young, he's usually lined up over that right tackle. Although there is a mix up, and he does kind of creep in on both sides. But it should be a good matchup to watch, man. Broderick Jones, he's doing a good job up there, so I think that'd be a fun matchup for sure. Byron Young, man, he's playing really good. He's got a really strong motor, and he can get after it for sure. So it'd be a fun game to watch, John. Good luck to your boys, but not enough luck to win. So thanks for hopping in, man. Appreciate that. All right, that is going to do it for the fan quesos, and thank you for all of those who dropped those. Again, look for the posts on Wednesdays if you would like to drop yours in there. You can also just send them to me on social media anytime. So, at Ram Showcase on Instagram, Twitter, or X, just shoot the message there. I'll get it into the next show as well. So good to go there. Appreciate that, though, all you who did ask questions hopping in there, like Tyler Higbee, and what do you be like as a roommate? Love that stuff. That's fun, man. But that is going to do it for me. Make sure you follow Ram Showcase on all your favorite social media, at Ram Showcase, at Sheriff Joe Bags for myself, ramshowcase.com. Definitely check it out there. Under that merch tab is where you can snag your Ram Showcase t-shirt. But that is going to do it for me. I am Sheriff Joe Bags, and this has been Ram Showcase on Sports War Radio, the Fan-Sided Network, and Broad Street South. For those of you who aren't Rams fans, our thoughts and prayers are with you. For those of you who are Rams fans, thank you so much for listening, and go Rams.